Dear Lord, we thank you for this day in your creation. Lord, everything when we look around at this amazing world is formed from your word. Lord, we thank you that we can gather in this place to glorify you, to learn from you, and to grow through you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We'll sing our first hymn from the White Hymn Book, number 988, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Our reading this morning will be taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35. Starting at verse 1. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like a crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your gods will come with vengeance, with the recompense of gods. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame men leap like deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunts of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there. It shall be called the Way of Holiness. And the unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beasts come upon it. They shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there, and ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Thanks be to God. We'll sing our second hymn, the Mission Praise number 162, The Servant King.
Our God, the
Let us enter a time of open prayer for a few minutes, and I'll finish in prayer.
Father, we thank you that you're here, that you're present with us this morning. And God, we think of what your word says, that better is one day in your courts than a thousand anywhere else. And Father, we do give you praise and honour and glory this morning, because there's no one like our God. God, you're the creator of everything we see, feel and touch. God, and your desire is that we have a relationship with you. So Father, I pray this morning that each one of us will hear your voice. I pray, Father, that we won't just hear your voice, God, that we'll be obedient servants, Father. And as we hear your voice, we put your word into action in our lives. And God, again, we just give you thanks, because you're a mighty, mighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
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 Father God, I give you praise for the blood of the martyrs, testimony of the past, the price that was paid by our ancestors to bring us to these truths that we now possess. We have in our hands, or in our smartphones, I suppose, copies of the word of God himself. We have, it is impossible to stop the word, it will not return to be void. But it will accomplish that for which it was sent. I praise you for good men and women, not only in the past, but in the present day, who strive to continue to promote the truth, even at the expense of their very lives. I give thanks for them.
Amen.
O wonderful God, we thank you for your gifts of freedom, of hope, joy, and mercy. Gifts which we simply do not deserve. We are grateful that we do not have to be in any doubt as to the reality of your love for us. Lord, every time we think of Jesus, we thank you for you showing your concern in him and for his life. Gentle and firm and persistent in love. For his death for us in our place, and for his resurrection, which has guaranteed our place in your kingdom. We thank you too for your church, for those who down the centuries and all across the world today have experienced your love in their lives, for those who have responded to the good news of Jesus, and through their faithful witness have made it possible for us and others across the world to hear it for ourselves. Lord, we thank you for the overwhelming power and presence of the Holy Spirit, for the way it lifts us up and transforms our lives for you. So, for Lord, as we've just sang, so let us learn how to serve and in our lives enthrone him. Each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ that we are serving. Lord, help us this day, for as we learn and listen to the word from Alex, help us to be lights in this dark world, to shine in the darkness, to be different from the world, to show others your glory and your true presence, so that they too can be saved by the grace that you have given us. And it's this source of thankfulness that we bring our thanks and praise in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord to you. Amen. We will sing our third hymn, Be Thou My Vision, number 51. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you are majesty. Lord, you are all-powerful. You have given us for thousands of years stories and the truths of your work in people's lives. Lord, we thank you for our holy book, the Bible, that it has been unchanged by your grace and your power, that you have had hold upon it by your grace and your heart. Lord, thank you for the teachers who bring us the word. Thank you that our lives can be changed through your Spirit working through it. Lord, we now pray for Alex as he begins to bring his word for us, that you will speak through him. You will be with him as he opens your words, and to be able to touch our hearts and our minds so that we can grow in godliness for you, that we can lift each other up in godliness for each other. As Lord, as you state, all scripture is breathed out by you and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. In your name we pray. Amen. Before Alex comes up, I invite you all to pray the Lord's Prayer as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For this is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now let us sing hymn number 31, Amazing Grace.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Alex, and I live and work at Yorkshire Camps, and I'm here to share God's word with you this morning. So please turn your Bibles, if you wish, to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. So John 14, please. And whilst you do, I'll tell you a little story. So a few years ago, me and a couple of friends decided to go on a little expedition together. It was 5 days, 4 nights, trekking through the Lake District, carrying everything with us and sleeping in tents overnight. Now, each of us had a different day that we planned the route for and a different day that we navigated for. And I was on the 5th and the final day. Now, throughout the rest of the week, people had done quite well. We had the occasional navigational hiccup. Not my fault, of course. But then on the final day, it was my day, and I was confident. I complained, should we say, throughout the rest of the week when I had to walk an extra 5 miles around a lake because we made the wrong turning, but that's okay. So it was my day to deliver, my day to perform, should we say. And on my day, it was going very, very well. We're walking down a path. This is the way. This was the way. That's the way. That was the way. Until we're walking down a path, and there before us came a wall. This was not the way. But not just was there a wall. As I turned and was like, maybe we just jump over the wall or find our way around another way, my friend leaned in very closely and went, "Alex, Alex," with his head. I looked to the side, and there, to my horror, I have to say, was an elderly couple sat outside on some chairs, reading the newspaper and enjoying a lovely afternoon drink. Not only had I taken us the wrong way, I'd very confidently navigated us into an elderly couple's back garden. Thankfully for us, we managed to get out before they noticed and very quickly found our way back on track. You know, confidence, knowing the way, you still get it wrong. In my defence, I thought it was the path. It was 10 metres further up the road. But there we go. And today in the passage, we come to someone else who equally has a navigational challenge. So I'll start reading at verse 1. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am going, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Amen. And in this passage, we come to Thomas, who has a slight navigational problem himself. How can we know the way when we do not know where we are going? And Thomas, as we meet later on in the Gospels, is not a man to declare faith if he has not. He is a man who wants to see the resurrected Jesus for who he is. He wants to put his finger in his wounds. He wants to put his hand in his side. And it's only when Jesus appears to Thomas does he truly believe. Thomas is a man who suffers from literalism, which closes his eyes to possibilities. He'll declare what's on his mind. And here he tells Jesus, "We do not know the way." And Jesus looks at him with love and with a great assertion ends his perplexity. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus looks across at Thomas with love there and is simply saying, "To know me is enough." And the problem was, Thomas was going for a journey that he didn't realize. He thought, "Oh, maybe Jesus, you're going up to Jericho. Tell us that you're going to Jericho. I know the way there. Maybe you're going across to Samaria. I know the way there too." But Jesus was going to a place not on earth, and he was taking them of a journey that was not an earthly journey. So what is this way, what is this journey that Jesus was, Jesus is. Because that promise that Christ made to Thomas all those 2,000 years ago, he makes today to each of us. Friend, to know me is enough. I am the way. So a good journey has a beginning. We have to start somewhere. Point one, the way out. So what does Christ take us from? He takes us from our sin. And it may be a surprise to some of you today, and it may not be a surprise to others, but each and every one of us is a sinner. Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When compared to God's law, we all fail. Not one of us is good enough. Not one of us can be good enough. You can spend your life trying, but you will not succeed. Sin is much more than just our actions. It's about our hearts. Jesus teaches earlier on in the Gospels that it is what comes out of our hearts that defiles us. And if we are defiled, we cannot enter the holy presence of God. We are enslaved by our sin. We are trapped by our evil desires. We live a life less than the beautiful, perfect life that God created for us. And not only that, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. Sin requires punishment. God is a just God, and wrongdoing deserves punishment. It'd be wrong, and it'd be terrible if God was not a God of justice. Imagine sort of the people who get away with things. How do you feel if a murderer got away with their crime? And it's the same for us. We don't deserve to get away with our sin. It deserves punishment. But it is a great pleasure to not just talk about the justice of God, but to talk even greatly about his great love for us. God is a God of love, and he knows we cannot save ourselves. Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his only Son to die for us in our place. He took upon himself the punishment that we all deserve, because he knew that we couldn't take that punishment, we couldn't save ourselves, so he had to do it for us. And this is by God's grace, and it is a free gift given and offered to each and every one of us. But gifts, you can either choose to accept them or reject them. And this is the only thing that we need to do to accept the gift that Christ has given us. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is the only condition that we need to fulfill. We need to accept that gift that Christ has offered to us. We must trust and surrender to Jesus our Lord. And anyone with a true and sincere heart will be saved. Thus, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord. So that's the first part of our journey. We are saved by Christ from our sin. Jesus Christ is the way out of our sin. In his mercy and grace, he takes that punishment that we deserve to free us from those slave bonds that we have of our sin. But what next? The way through. The way through the wilderness. And this is where we as Christians find ourselves today. We find ourselves waiting and hoping for what comes next, whilst knowing it is not yet time. And it is in this wilderness that we learn to trust God, to live by his word and daily bread, even when things seem impossible and hopeless. This might remind you a little bit of a journey in the Old Testament that the Israelites took. They were enslaved and trapped by the Egyptian nation, by Pharaoh. There were slaves working, beaten, punished, until God raised up a ruler. Well, not really a ruler. God raised up a savior for them. Through Moses, he delivered them from Egypt. And after that deliverance, after they parted, God parted the Red Sea, which, as an aside, how much greater is God's deliverance for us from sin today than his deliverance from the Israelites in Egypt? And after they escaped Egypt, the Israelites then spent time in the wilderness themselves. And there's a lot that we can learn from the Israelites, from when the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness. In the original wilderness, they didn't always trust their God, their great deliverer. He appeared before them day and night as a great pillar of cloud and fire, leading them the way. He provided them with manna, food from heaven, quail in the evenings, and yet they longed for their life back in Egypt. They forgot where they were going, and they forgot the God who had delivered them from Egypt. We see later on in the story that they themselves build an idol, a golden calf, with which they say, "This is the God that saved us from Egypt." They forget the God who saved them. Christians, do not forget what Christ has done for you. Remind yourself daily, tell each other. We preach Christ crucified so that we may remember the grace and mercy he's shown to each and every one of us, and the grace and mercy he shows to everyone. And the life that you are living now, even though we walk in the wilderness, I assure you, is far, far better than our enslavement to sin. But think not just on that, think of where we are going. And in comparison to where we're ending the journey with Christ, I cannot think of a superlative grand enough. It is so much more incredible that any comparison to our life now would be insignificant. It will be glory, true, true glory. But whilst we walk this wilderness path now, we are not left alone. Philippians chapter 1 tells us, "He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of the Lord." Isaiah chapter 30 tells us, "Whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" Christ walks with us. He guides us. He knows we fail. We turn from the path, but he will help us back onto it. And when you're tempted to go astray, focus on where you've come from and how much greater the life away from sin is, but also focus on the destination. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, "Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary trouble are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen." Fix our eyes on heaven. We are not wandering now without purpose. We are walking with Christ by the Holy Spirit on a path that he has set for us. We are heading for home. Which brings us to our final, well, not final point yet, sorry, which brings us to our next point, the way in. Now, what if I told you that I'd found a neighbourhood, let's say in Bolton, that was absolutely perfect? I heard that laugh. You could turn and live in joy and happiness. A place where there was no death or mourning, no crying or pain. Maybe the house prices were perfect. Maybe your neighbours didn't put their bins in front of your driveway. And maybe they put them back away at the end of the day. I bet some of you would be tempted to get up and leave right now. You want to make sure it's real. You want to make sure that that's a place that you could live. What would it look like? Wouldn't you want to live there? Oh, nobody got up. I guess that means you don't believe me, which is understandable. Such a place surely couldn't exist, and definitely not in Bolton. and said that you'd be right. But it was a place that you wanted to live, and it's a place that you wanted to go to. I wonder, what does a perfect place look like to you? If you could imagine that neighbourhood, what would it truly look like? Well, the place that we're going to in this journey with Christ is not anywhere to be found here on earth. And it's even better than our definition of perfect. It's not perfect by our definition, but perfect by the definition of God, the God who created us, who knows what is better for us than we know ourselves. He knows the perfect place for us to live. And I assure you, it'll be different to the perfect place that you all just imagined. It'll be far, far better. So Christians, remember this. We are not lost. We are not aimlessly wandering, but we are going somewhere glorious. And Christ has gone before us to prepare a place for us. In his Father's house, there are many, many rooms. And Christ, he's not just our guide there, but he is our host. He is personally preparing a home for each and every one of us. It is a place that I admit I cannot fully imagine, I cannot fully understand, but it is a place that I know I cannot wait to arrive at. And every single one of us will be there that puts their trust and faith in Christ, as promised by his grace. So that's the journey that Christ takes us on. He takes us out of our sin. He takes us through the wilderness and our wanderings now. And he takes us into the promised land, our promised land, heaven with him. But that's not the end of what Christ says to us. Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Christ is the only way. Now I want you to imagine you're walking in the mountains. You were slightly less prepared than I was on my expedition earlier on. You didn't have a map with you, but it was a fairly well-signed path, and it was a pretty clear day. You're probably doing all right. But then imagine mist descended, thick, thick mist. Now you're looking around and all of a sudden you can't find the path anymore. All of a sudden you are well and truly lost. Now imagine there was a friend of yours who had walked these paths many times before. Maybe they grew up in the area. And by some miracle, should we say, you bump into them in the mist. Ah, hi, are you lost? I know the way. Let me help you. Let me show you. You'd be silly, very, very silly to turn that down. You'd be very, very silly to say, it's okay, I've got this. Or, don't worry, I don't need your help. I would advise nobody to go walking alone in the mountains of mist. Because if you stray from the path, you may just fall to your death. And it is through Jesus. He is the friend that comes to us. He is the friend that says, I know the way. He is the friend that says, I am the way. And it is only by following Christ that we reach the summit. Only with Christ do we have the safety and security that we need. Only with Christ, knowing Christ, will you find the way. And we need to be careful, because there's many counterfeit ways out there. There's many false guides, there's many false pathways that say to us, I am the way, this is the way. They may know where we are going, they do not know how to get there. They cannot get us there. Only Christ can get us there. Christ teaches this himself in Matthew 7, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Just because everybody else seems to know the way, everybody else is pursuing different things to you, by no means does that mean they are going the right way. Jesus himself is the way out of sin. Jesus himself is the way through the wilderness. Jesus himself is the way into glory. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only way. So I ask you today, come and put your trust in Jesus the way. Join him in the journey. It won't be easy. We will be tested, and at times, sadly, we may long for our times of sin. But we know that Christ is guiding us now, and we know that the destination is well, well worth the journey. We can take confidence in the way that we travel, Jesus, and we can take confidence in the glorious place that we are going to. Just as God delivered on his promise to deliver the Israelites into their promised land, so too can we have the confidence that God in Christ will deliver us too into our promised land. So Jesus is the way. And what Jesus says to Thomas, he says to each and every one of us today, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No map, no compass, no work or effort, only simply and beautifully Christ. It is enough that you know Christ. And those of you here today who have put your trust and your life in Jesus, I say to you, keep on with the journey. Keep trusting God. Keep trusting Christ. But those who haven't, I ask you to join us as simple, broken, fallen people, following the only perfect one to the place that only he can lead. As Sam read for us in Isaiah 35 earlier, and a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. This is the way that Jesus walks. Are you coming with us? Are you joining us on the journey? Amen. Let us sing together now, number 1072.
Yeah.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this gift of life that you offer and give to each of us. We thank you so much that you sent your Son Jesus into this world to not only show us the way, but to be the way. We thank you, Father, that he was willing to go upon the cross. He was willing to die for each and every one of us, to take that punishment that we each deserve, Lord. In his grace, in your grace and mercy, we are saved. Father, we thank you that now, as we wander in this time of wilderness, that you wander aside with us. Father, we thank you that you help us, you guide us, and you show us the way. When we stray from the path, you help us to return from it. And Father, help us to not forget. Help us to remember each and every day that great gift of grace that you've shown us. Help us to remember that Christ crucified upon that cross for each of us. And Father, help us to look forward to with joy the heaven that awaits us. Father, although we do not know what your house will look like, give us a longing in each and every heart here that we want to be there with you. And Father, thank you that you are the only way and that Christ came to show us he was the way. In Jesus' name, amen.